Welcome to the Excellent Life Podcast, a podcast where you are inspired, motivated, and challenged to live a life of excellence. On the show, I will cover topics like created for excellence, keys to living an excellent life, and living your very best life. My special guests will also share from their wealth of experience the principles for living an excellent life. I'm your host, Bola Mateloko, and I'm so excited to be with you today. Welcome to episode 32 of the Excellent Life Podcast. I am yours truly, Bola Mateloko, and I am super, super excited to be with you again today. It's been a minute, so I am extra delighted to bring you today's podcast titled Excelling in Marriage. Yes, yes, yes. So earlier this month, my husband and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Yes, 30, you heard me right. I decided to do a 30-day countdown to our anniversary on my Instagram stories and my WhatsApp status, featuring memories of our 30-year journey. I was amazed at the responses I got. So many of my family and friends joined me in the countdown, and I got several requests to share tips for building an excellent marriage. I initially thought of doing something on Zoom with a few ladies, but then I decided, why not a podcast? So today, I am going to be sharing some pointers that have helped me in my marriage journey. I trust that my experience will give someone or two some inspiration, motivation, and even challenge you to work towards excelling in your marriage. I want to start by giving a little background information to give a proper perspective to this discussion. So, I got married at the tender age of 24. My husband and I both came from a polygamous background, so we really did not have any blueprint to work with as far as marriage was concerned. To complicate things even further, we had very different experiences in our upbringing and came from different cultural backgrounds. He was from the eastern part of the country and I was from the western part of the country. We were both Christians and he would be ordained a pastor shortly after we got married, adding the extra element of being a pastor's wife and the pressure of juggling marriage and ministry at such a tender age. As if that was not difficult enough, less than a year into our marriage, we were posted to Kingston, Jamaica, on a missionary assignment to set up a church. For someone like me that was so dependent on our extended family, it seemed like the worst case scenario for sure. By the third year of our marriage, we already had our first two boys, and the role of mother was thrown into this already complicated mix. Needless to say, things got off to a rocky start, and it took a while for me to begin to get the hang of things. As faith would have it, Jamaica turned out to be a blessing in disguise because being so far away from home and my family forced me to put in the work to make my marriage work. Yes. Here are some of the lessons I've learned along the way. Number one. Love is not just a feeling, it is a commitment. It was not too long after I met my husband that I felt the butterflies in my belly, like they say, and just knew that I was in love. We met on the 10th of January, 1993, and he proposed to me on the 14th of February on Valentine's Day, nonetheless. We got married on the 7th of April, 1994, which was round about 15 months after we first met. I remember the first time we argued. I felt like my heart was going to break into two. All of a sudden, I did not feel like I loved my husband anymore. Over the years, I have come to realize that love is not a feeling. It is a commitment. It is a commitment to be in a covenant relationship, whether you feel like it or not. Our marriage vows were the conventional vows, which included the phrase, till death do us part. Those words kept ringing in my head, and I was determined to make my marriage work because I was not prepared to go through the rest of my life being miserable. Number two, it is more important to be happy than right. I am a lawyer by training, and I am also extremely competitive. This was not a good combination in the early stages of my marriage at all. I was determined to win every argument, and my husband was having none of it. I remember he said to me one day, "You will not practice law in my house." It was pretty obvious that he was not going to back down from the fight. After many losing arguments and even more tears, I eventually saw the light. I had to choose whether I wanted to be happy or right. It was an absolute no-brainer. I chose to be happy. Every once in a while, my competitive juices still kick in, and I'm determined to win the odd argument here and there. But for the most part, I have put away my law degree where my marriage is concerned. The interesting thing is that when my husband saw that I was not so determined to win every argument, he backed down too. And now we lovingly disagree, like we like to say. At the end of the day, what's the point of being right and miserable anyway? Lesson learned. Number three, there is no perfect marriage. As Christians, we are called to strive towards perfection. And for the majority of us, it is a work in progress. In the same vein, there is no perfect marriage because it is made up of two imperfect people. God is the only one that is perfect, and having him in the middle of your marriage guarantees perfection in all the imperfect circumstances. Striving towards perfection in marriage does not happen by luck or accident. It requires a consistent investment of time, thoughtfulness, forgiveness, affection, prayer, mutual respect, and a solid commitment between husband and wife. When I first got married, I was quick to point out my husband's flaws to him, and he reciprocated by doing exactly the same. Over the years, we have come to accommodate each other's weaknesses and to build on each other's strengths. We may not have a perfect marriage, but we love each other perfectly anyway. Number four, marriage is sustained by friendship. The day I got married, as I prepared to go to my husband's house, my dad said a prayer that was quite insightful. He prayed that God would make us each other's friends. I know for sure that one of the keys to the success of my marriage is that my husband and I have genuinely become best friends. True friendship is at the foundation of every marital relationship and is the driving force behind every romance. One of the characteristics of true friends is that they enjoy spending time together and they share similar interests. Over the years, we have come to enjoy the same things, whether it's sports, food, movies, or just hanging out together. Love and romance sometimes require effort, but true friendship is effortless. When all is said and done, I can truly say that I married my best friend. Number five. Forgiveness is a vital ingredient for a healthy marriage. Husband and wives are bound to disagree, but it's what we do with the pain and resentment that truly matters. Just like Christ forgave us, it is essential to forgive one another. Getting even is often the first reaction when we are hurt. But following through on such a plan is contrary to biblical principles, and it compounds the hurt and can damage the relationship even further. I have received my husband's forgiveness, as I have also had to forgive him. He's quick to say sorry, Yet I would often question his sincerity as a condition to dole out forgiveness. I remember a situation that hurt him, and his willingness to forgive was a testament to his love and commitment to our marriage. Love is a great antidote to offense, and being willing to give each other the benefit of the doubt helps in forgiving your spouse when they offend you. When I first got married, this was an area I struggled with because of the frequent verbal exchanges that left deep wounds. However, 30 years down the line, we have a better understanding of each other, and the disagreements are few and far between. Number six, your mindset is key to excelling in marriage. God's plan when he created marriage was that it would be a lifelong commitment between two people who entered in with full knowledge and understanding of his purpose. This mindset that marriage is an adventure in which husband and wife stick together through thick and thin is key for staying in it for the long haul. We got married in an Orthodox church, and our vows were very traditional vows. Two aspects of our vows constantly stood out to me. For richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. These were weighty words that were not to be taken lightly. Even in the early years of my marriage, when things were rocky and turbulent, the idea of getting out was never one that crossed my mind. I have experienced pain and disappointment in marriage, just like every other aspect of my life. But I've also experienced great fulfillment and taking pride in working through its challenges and adversity. When we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, we decided to renew our vows to reiterate that we are in it for the long haul. As we enter into the 31st year of our marriage, we are more resolute than ever to keep it going. Number seven, a united front is key in marriage. If there is no unity, marriage will not work. When husband and wife do not constantly walk with a united front, it spells trouble for the marriage. It can have devastating effects on their relationship, not to mention their children. One of the mistakes husband and wives make in marriage is to see the other person as their enemy. This invariably results in division, and if care is not taken, the home can turn into a war zone, which makes for a very toxic atmosphere. One area that I've found to be vital to maintaining a united front is parental decision making. There's nothing that irks my husband more than when we are not in agreement on issues relating to our children. It becomes even more ticked off when my disagreement is apparent to them. Coming from different backgrounds, we do have differing views on issues from time to time. But one thing we have learned to do is to not let our differences extend beyond the boundary of our home. It has not always been easy, but we both understand the importance of maintaining a common front. Number eight, the grass is not always greener on the other side. We live in a world where we constantly want more. We are never quite satisfied with what we have at any point in time. You see your neighbor with a new car, and your one-month-old car becomes old. Your friend buys a new house, and all of a sudden, you need a bigger house. The grass always seems to be greener on the other side, when in reality, it is not. The same is true about marriage. You have to resist the trap of discontent that comes from comparing your marriage to any other marriage. I always say that when you see a marriage that works, It is because two people have put in the work to make it work. Be grateful for where you are in your journey. And remember that every marriage is a work in progress, and extend grace to yourself. After 30 years of marriage, my husband and I are still tweaking things and finding new things to work on from time to time. There is such a peace that comes from living a life of contentment, and there's no substitute for that. Godliness, indeed, with contentment is great gain. Number 9, never second guess who you chose. I have never been of the school of thought that there is only one person in the world that you must marry. This is not to say that you can marry just about anybody. You must be prayerful and deliberate in the choice of a life partner. This should give you some confidence, even in the most challenging of situations. At some point in a marriage, there might seem to be issues of incompatibility because both of you have changed and evolved in the relationship. This is by no means evidence that either person made a wrong choice. Marriage is about adjustments, and both parties must be willing to adjust as the dynamics of the relationship change. I must admit that I've had times when I wondered if I made the right choice in marriage, but every single time I have concluded that my husband was God's choice for me, and God does not make mistakes. My husband always tells me that if he had to choose all over again, he would choose me. The truth is that if I had to choose all over again, I would choose him too. Number 10, finally and most importantly, it takes the grace of God to excel in marriage. The last 30 years have not been a bed of roses. There have been challenging times along the way. Our love and commitment to each other have been tested many times in the course of our marriage. As people of faith, in those difficult times, we have had to rely on God's grace, because His grace is more than sufficient for every situation. For anyone going through a difficult patch in your marriage, I want to encourage you not to give up. And for those desiring to get married, I pray that when you do, it will surpass your every expectation. Thank you for joining me on this very special episode of the podcast. Bye for now, and God bless. Thanks for joining me this week on the Excellent Life podcast. I trust that you have been inspired by the show today. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Bola Mataloko, the Excellent Life Coach. And be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes so you never miss an episode. If you love the show, please leave a rating on iTunes so that I can continue to bring you many more life-changing episodes. Thank you for listening, and I will be with you in 2 weeks for another inspiring episode. Till then, remember, it is possible to live your very best life.